Hello, everybody. This is episode 402 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Huznes. And today I've got quite a hefty amount of indie games to talk about. But before I get to all that jazz, I wanted to cover a few things I've been watching, both of which I don't want to talk too much detail. First, A Ghost Story, which is a movie that came out earlier this year in very limited release and is available now on Blu-ray, I'm sure DVD too, probably, I don't know. And of course, digitally via Amazon or iTunes, not streaming anywhere for free, as far as I know. And by free, I mean with a subscription to Netflix or Hulu or Amazon. But it is an incredibly beautiful story that requires a lot of patience from the viewer, because there are scenes that linger on for a long time, longer than most movies and longer than I think a lot of people would be willing to sit through. But if you have the patience to watch it, I think you'll be rewarded greatly. I will not spoil the movie or anything, but I will just give an idea of what I mean with one scene that's in the movie where Rooney Mara's, I believe that's her name, the actress's name, her character eats an entire pie in real time. I mean, they're not eating it super slowly, but they're not just scarfing it down. So it's probably maybe a 3 to 5 minute scene. I'd say 5 minutes would be more accurate, of her eating this pie. And that's it. But in context to what has happened and what's going on, it really works. And yeah, that's all I really want to say, because I think it's a movie that is best to go in with as little knowledge as possible. But all I'll say is it's a very thoughtful, heartbreaking, beautiful film that, for me, as someone who's seen a handful of Terrence Malick films, A Ghost Story feels like the kind of movie Terrence Malick is always trying to make. Something that is deep and meaningful and full of, like, philosophical, but he always fails to, because it's clear he's trying too hard to do that. And I think he's also often too vague and doesn't want to give any kind of answers or any kind of information, just like throws a bunch of random imagery out there. And A Ghost Story, while it has these long drawn out moments and a lot of silence and a lot of just very stretched out scenes, it at least feels congruent. It feels cohesive. It feels right. It feels together. It feels complete. It feels like something that has been put together with actual thought. Whereas I think Malick's work is just the work of someone who is a very good photographer and can spot beautiful imagery and is great at directing a camera and saying, hey, this would be a beautiful shot. But then he just takes all those shots and throws them together without any thought or care at all. And just is like, okay, I don't need to really put any effort into this or try to make any sense of it, because these pictures are so beautiful and people who are intelligent will realize that this is just beauty and that's that. But I don't agree with that. And of course, that may not be what he thinks he's doing. That's just what I get out of his work. And I've seen, what now? Days of Heaven, Badlands, and The Thin Red Line. I think that's it. And I haven't finished any of them. I definitely didn't get that far in Days of Heaven. I think Badlands is probably his, I believe it is his first movie, and probably the one that works best of all, because it did feel more cohesive and all that. The only reason I didn't finish it is because I had no interest in following these characters any more than the 45 minutes to an hour I gave them, because they were not likable, and there were some questionable actions and reactions that I didn't buy completely. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent that I don't need to. A Ghost Story is beautiful, existential, thoughtful, thought-provoking. Definitely not for everyone, but I think if you want to see something different, something unique, something that I believe is special, definitely check it out. And it is a movie that really has lingered with me as well, because I wasn't sure about it 5-10 minutes into it. I thought, oh god, this is going to be a Maliki piece of garbage. But I stuck with it, and it just got better and better, and I ended up really liking it after it finished. And then as it continued to linger on with me and just stay with me hours and hours after I watched it, I realized that I actually loved it, and I just want to watch it again. I've grown, it just keeps growing on me, and I hope at least someone, one listener, watches it and feels the same, because that would be great. And if you'd like to get maybe an idea of it, because I think you should not even watch the trailer. If you'd like to get an idea, though, of the feelings that the movie invokes, I think you should check out the song. Oh, what is it called? Why am I forgetting? Why am I blanking on it right now? From Dark Rooms. It's not Warm as After Night. Let me find it out quickly. Come on, iTunes, work. Why are you being so slow? I hate you, iTunes. I hate you so much. You are being a real piece of crap, iTunes, right now. It's not responding to anything. So I'm just going to go to YouTube and check my history, because I keep listening to it on YouTube. And this is making for great podcasting material. I get overwhelmed by Dark Rooms. That song is featured heavily in the movie, and I think if you listen to that, and if it's the kind of, if you get hit with as many feels as I did from that song, if it brings out a strong sensation from you, if it grabs you, then I think the movie itself would do the exact same thing. So moving on, Twin Peaks. Started watching that on Netflix. I'm at, I think, episode 10 of season 2. And that is a very mixed bag of a show. There are so many highs and lows of it. There are things I love, things I hate, things that I get really annoyed with. In large part, the things in the show that are weird just for the sake of being weird, which I never like because, well, I can sometimes like, but when it's so obvious as it is in Twin Peaks, it gets kind of annoying. And depending on what kind of weirdness it is, maybe I can come to like it. But I'm sticking with it because ultimately I've made it this far and I enjoy it enough to keep going. And because Agent Cooper is such a fantastic character and such a joy to watch, and there are other characters like too, like Leland, played by Ray Wise. He's great on it. But it's just a hodgepodge of overacting that is awful and overacting that is delectable, and stupid characters that are dumb and pointless, like the Log Lady, who I don't care what super fans think. She is garbage and pointless and a waste of time and space, and just a stupid character who exists just to be weird and stupid. And Nadine, is someone who I've heard gets her storyline somewhat paid off in the second half of the second season. So maybe I'll get that. But she is a character who is weird. She's fine. But for whatever reason, David Lynch was like, she has to have an eye patch too. And that is just a weird characteristic to give this character, because she's weird enough without it. But, you know, let's make her a little bit weirder with an eye patch. And how she lost the eye is stupid and doesn't justify the reason for not being there. So that's something I don't like. And then there are characters who have personality changes that are a bit frustrating. There are characters who are just flat out annoying. I don't like Bobby. But yet, it's just, it's an interesting watch, because I can see how other people I've enjoyed their works of have been definitely heavily inspired by this and have taken from it. I can see Kojima all over this, so I can see that he was definitely inspired by this. It's also interesting because I didn't realize until I started watching that I've never seen a David Lynch movie or series or anything that he's been involved with ever until now. Nothing, and that's kind of shocking to me. I think maybe I just confused his works with Darren Aronofsky's works, and they are not the same. But I will continue watching, and I'll see what happens. I've heard many people say that the second season is a bit drawn out because it's about twice as long as the first season, and isn't that great. But the last episode really pays off all of the storylines and everything. And I'm curious if that will be true for me. But regardless, I think that is a terrible thing to... I just don't appreciate anything where it is shitty a lot of the time because it's not giving you answers or being very vague or just doing a lot of stupid things. And then just tries to make up for it with a final episode that ties all the knots neatly together. I don't think that's satisfying at all. But that's Twin Peaks. Don't want to talk too much about it because I've remained unspoiled on it. And I think it's definitely a show where if you know what's going on and what's going to happen, it's way less appealing. The one thing that I have been struggling with is my desire to Google. Ever since the first episode, I've been very curious about this Diane lady who Agent Cooper is talking to, because he's just talking into a effing tape recorder and he's talking to her like she can hear what he's saying and can do things and get him stuff, and none of that makes any sense. So I'm just very confused if Diane is real, and yeah, I really want to know. But I'm just hoping the show lets all that be known in time. And if it doesn't, I'm going to be really annoyed. If I want to either find out that Diane isn't real or see her on screen. So yeah, that's that. Moving on to the games, finally. Before I touch on the new stuff, I want to say I've still been playing some Beach Buggy Racing, enjoying that, but I've run into a little problem, kind of a big problem though. It now crashes on me fairly consistently once every 15 or so minutes, and that is very frustrating and it's very annoying, and it's a letdown because it's taken away from the enjoyable experience that is the game for the most part. And I didn't throw in because I have a digital copy. I played Mario Kart 8. On my Switch as well, to just get a taste of that after it crashed on me and I was really pissed off. And I think I like Beach Buggy Racing more because I hate the control scheme in Mario Kart 8, and I do not believe there's any way to change it. So Beach Buggy Racing's control scheme is fairly traditional. Right trigger gas, left trigger brake, press the A button for your power up, and then the Y button for your character power. And then with Mario Kart, it is A or X or B, whatever the right little button is for gas. Left trigger for the weapon, I believe, the power up, and then right trigger for the handbrake. And I hate that. It does not feel right for a racer. And I don't know if that's maybe why I never really stuck with it. But man, after playing so much Beach Buggy Racing, that just did not feel good at all. And I'm not good with the whole power sliding crap and all that and drifting for boost. I'm not good at that. And that's a big part of Mario Kart, so I like Beach Buggy Racing more. I'm just going to flat out say it. I like it more. Plus, it's $50 cheaper. So there's that. If only it wouldn't crash on me every 15 minutes now. That's very frustrating. Moving on to the new stuff I've been playing. So, I've been playing a bit of Judge, which is, I think, the latest game from 10 Tons. And it is a twin-stick shooter in the same universe as their other twin-stick shooter, Neon Chrome, one of their other twin-stick shooters, I believe. I believe it is a prequel. But in actuality, none of that matters because the story in all their games, and a lot of games like this, aren't that great. They're just, in my opinion, they're there to just push the progression and just give you a little bit something to latch onto. But I quickly lose interest because I just want to play the game because it's so much. The games are typically very fun to play, so I just don't need to spend time reading a story that is fairly standard and not that special. Anyway, Judge is basically, and it's Judge, J-Y-D-G-E. Why? I don't know, but it's in there instead of a U. It is basically a Judge Dredd game. So it's over-the-top twin-stick shooter, and you, like with Neon Chrome, where you were... Man, it's been a while since I played Neon Chrome. I can't remember the specifics to the level setup other than the whole upgrade system. But you're going into these various environments, and you have certain goals to complete. So you're rescuing civilians or stealing little documents or whatnot. Or maybe that's not in this one. That's a time recall. But you're either killing bosses, mob bosses and whatnot, or rescuing civilians or something of the sort that a cop would do. A judge in the Judge Dredd universe would do, even though this is not in the Judge Dredd universe. It is the Judge Dredd game you always wanted. And you're just using various mechanics and skills you gain as you progress through the thing. You can unlock various things like hacking tools, which will allow you to open doors or hack your way into safes that provide you with a lot of money to upgrade your various weapons. You have a basic machine gun to start off with, but then you can upgrade and change it to a laser gun or a shotgun or a plasma gun or all these various types of things. There are character upgrades like being able to take more damage or your bullets won't hurt civilians, or a little mechanical spider will follow you, or you have a grenade launcher, rocket launcher, whatnot. And you're just going through these levels, completing the objectives, earning your various medals. Some will be based on completing the game in a certain time limit, opening all the chests in an area, defeating all the enemies without being hit, and whatnot. And it's just a very, very fun game. The twin stick mechanic is very good, like all their other games. 10 Tons is, in my opinion, probably, from what I can think of, the king of twin-stick shooters at this point, because they make them at a fairly... I feel like they come out with at least one a year, maybe two. And they're always very, very well put together, well polished. They run well. I never have any technical issues with their games. And they just feel real good with the controller. And they're super fun. And they're fairly priced. I think, let me see how much good old Judge is, if the link will work. $15 promotion on Steam, and it's available on Steam, Xbox One. Don't know if the PS4 version is out yet for Judge, but it still has a launch discount of 20% off on Steam. Might be the same on Xbox One, but it is just super fun. And yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. If you like twin stick shooters and like going after objectives, getting collectibles, and upgrading your character, it's the game. It's a game made for you. The only thing I think could turn some people off is that there's a bit of grinding, I'd say, for some people. But I enjoy replaying the levels. And once you complete a level, after you finish the first area, you unlock the hardcore difficulty, which I guess makes the enemies more powerful. I didn't get that sense, but it gives you a new set of three objectives to complete, which could be more difficult or in some cases a little bit easier to do. But I really, really like it. And it's just fun to go into these little environments and take down the enemies, save the hostages, and get the job done. And the environments are fairly destructible. You can create your own pass by blowing up walls. The enemy AI is good enough. And it's just a lot of fun to play. So, yeah. And it has local co-op, so that's cool as well. Drop in, drop out co-op. So you have another controller there. You just, hey, I'm going to join you now. They turn it on, you're right in the game. So that's cool as well. And then continuing with 10 Tons talk, I also have been playing some more of their other twin stick shooter that recently came out, Time Real Coil, which is pegged as a sort of Hotline Miami meets super hot top-down twin stick shooter game. And it is a bit like that. I'd say it's more Hotline Miami than super hot. It's super hot in the sense that when you shoot an enemy, it slows down time for a brief period, and if you shoot another and kill another enemy, that meter will refill, and then you can build a chain off of that. And as you kill more enemies in the same chain, you will get various abilities. So with 2 kills in a chain, you get the ability to kind of time jump and warp through walls and whatnot, and you can kill enemies that way. With 4 enemies in a row, you get this sort of time blast, which allows you to do the same. You warp to a space maybe 20 feet away or so. Or I'm trying to think about how feet would work in the actual game, because it's more like 2 inches or whatever on my, I don't know what size screen this is, 40-inch screen. And with that, with the four kill blast, you will also give off a little explosion when you do that. And with 6, you get this sort of time bomb looking thing, so that you stay in place, but you leave this little like warp ball thing. But it's once again a lot of fun. The twin stick shooting feels really good. It runs really well, which is important, because this Judge is more, for me, more of a methodical game, a slower game where I am looking at what I can do and thinking things out a bit more. And with Time Recoil, it's much faster paced, especially in some levels where you have a certain, maybe like 15 seconds to complete an area, or attempt to complete an area before security sets in and just sends so many enemies at you that there's no way you will be able to handle them. And you can really just fly through areas very quickly, which feels much more Hotline Miami. And the enemies are always placed in the same place, so you will be able to figure out how to best chain it and just shoot enemies off screen before you even know where they are or see them on screen. But the whole mechanic of shooting an enemy and then time slowing down feels really good. And it's just another fun twin stick shooter to pick up. So Judge and Time Recoil, if you're a fan of twin stick shooters, both I highly recommend. They're both on Steam and Xbox One right now, PS4 as well, maybe, or very, very soon in the not too distant future. Moving on, I played some Samurai Riot on PC. This is a $14.99 game, Windows only, and it is a beat-em-up game where you are playing as one of two different samurai warriors, one being a female who has a little animal friend with her, I think, and then a dude who is your traditional samurai. It has a decent art style, and the music is all right, but playing it isn't all that fun because the enemy AI isn't all that great. The enemy variations aren't all that great as well. There's not that much variety of enemies in the time I've spent with them, and some of them can be a bit cheap, and I just think it's a very, very empty game in terms of the combat. It's just, there's not much you can do. There's not much depth to the combat. It's very, very simplistic, very, very basic, and it doesn't feel good when you land a hit on an enemy. There's not a good sense of impact, and the characters feel a little bit floaty in the environment. They don't feel quite in place, and one of the things that I know will not be super important, not a huge deal to most people, is that I hate the walking animation, because for both characters, it doesn't look like a walking animation. What it looks like is that they are moving one leg forward and then dragging their other leg, and just doing that at a very, very rapid pace, and it looks very unnatural, and I don't like it, and it's very off-putting for me. But I don't know if most people will even notice or care. And this all really sucks because I like the way the story is handled, in that you are given at certain points in the game choices whether you will join, say, the rebellion or stay with the army and just destroy this rebellion. And that affects the game and where the story goes, where the environment is and whatnot, and can change the difficulty and stuff like that. And I like that aspect of the game because it means that replaying the game is a bit more fun and more interesting. But it's not really that much more fun or that interesting. It would still be interesting, but it wouldn't be all that much fun because the game is still not that much fun to play. So regardless of how much I like the way the story is handled, and the writing and all that is fine as well, it's not awful but not great, I don't enjoy playing the game enough to want to continue seeing where the story goes and making choices and all that, which is just a bit of a disappointment. And then last but not least, I've been playing Let Them Come on Xbox One. It's also available on PC on Steam. And it's very annoying that it is on Steam, and it might be on PS4 as well, I'm not sure. But it's $5 on Steam, $8 on Xbox One. I don't know why that is the case, and it's very, very annoying because it is a very, 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 very simple game, and $5 would be a much more agreeable price, and I would maybe be willing to recommend it for some people at $5, but at $8, I would say no. I can't recommend Let Them Come for $8 on Xbox One. And it's because it is such a simple game, and I found it to be rather boring. So what Let Them Come is a base defending game, I guess. It's a 2D side view game, which, of course, it's 2D. That's not entirely true. But it is a 2D game where you are defending a little area, and all you have is a turret, and you're defending this hallway, essentially. And enemies come in from the right side of the screen, and you're able to move your turret at maybe a 40-degree angle or so. You don't have that much movement. So you can shoot straight on, of course, at the floor, which is fine. Not really that important. And then at the ceiling to a point, but you can't shoot directly above you. And there are enemies that do crawl on the ceiling, these little spiders, which like to jump that way. And I hate the fact that you can't shoot higher. That's a real annoyance. But ultimately, why the game isn't all that much fun or just gets boring really quickly is that all you're doing is this hallway defense. You gain money and you're able to upgrade your weapons and your character, and in the story mode you're going through these various waves of enemies, and there's no real penalty to death. It's because when you lose in a wave, you just start again at that wave when you start over, and you just whatever, you have money that you can upgrade things and change things, so you just use that. But that's all the game is. It's single player. There's just too little content in it. Sure, there's a new game plus, and there's a score attack mode or something of that ilk, but the gameplay is just so basic, and it doesn't have enough variety in it, and it's not that satisfying after the first 15 or so minutes to just keep shooting down this hallway, blowing up aliens. It isn't. I think it's a game that I would probably find much more enjoyable on my phone, but when I'm playing it on my TV and I know I can play so many other games on my TV, I would never ever decide to play Let Them Come over some other game for any other reason than, hey, here are some more achievements. I mean, that's the only reason I would play it any more than I've played it, is to get the rest of the achievements I have not obtained. But I just think it's, and I think the $8 price tag is a bit ridiculous, especially when it's $5 on Steam and it feels like a $5 game being so simplistic and so basic. I think it's a hard pill to swallow at that price. And also, I just don't see the reasoning behind it, because I do believe if people saw this game and the pixel art, which is pretty good, especially when you see a lot of the aliens exploding and all that kind of stuff, the particle effects, that looks really good. The music is fine. And I do like that you can change the music as you like. You can add to the playlist as you unlock new music and whatnot. But it should be $5. It really should be. And I think at $5, people would be like, hey, this looks kind of cool. It's only $5. Why not? But at $8, it's like, I need to think about this. And I think if people really think about it, they'll say, I can put this $8 towards something better. Something with a bit more meat on its bones. But that will do it for today's episode. Sad end with a few disappointing games. But c'est la vie, eh? Anyway, once again, I'm your host, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, My Enemy List, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage on PSN. A little bit of a belch if you heard that. I don't know. On PSN, I'm the Kush 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, Pixelated Radio, and the Pixelated Paranormal podcast, as well as the art I do, which if you'd like to see it all in one little fancy schmancy place, you can go over to pxsart.com and check it out there, where you can see it all and get links to where you can purchase prints of the pieces you like. And if you'd like to support the site in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. So that will do it for today's episode. Hope you all have had a lovely day so far, that it continues to be lovely, and that you have a lovely rest of your week. And I'll talk to y'all later.